Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke, that's the third book in the New Testament. If you're just getting to know your way around your Bible, which is an awesome thing, if you are taking that time to say, I'm going to start learning my Bible and not just waiting for somebody else to teach me, but to dig into it myself. It's an awesome thing. So, third book of the New Testament, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. You know what I have right here? I have a piece of paper. Do you know what's on that piece of paper that I have in my hand? Letters. It is a recipe for great pancakes. I have it right here, and they are good. I learned how to cook breakfast when I was a teenager. I worked for the original pancake house. How many people have eaten at the original pancake house? How many have had the Big Apple? Those are amazing. That's where I learned how to cook breakfast, and I've been a breakfast guy ever since. Waffles, pancakes, omelets, whatever. I just love cooking French toast breakfast. And I've made pancakes for my kids down through the years. They used to not go to school without getting something of a homemade breakfast. I'm not sure when we stopped doing that, but at some point in time, I think it shifted to boxed oatmeal, and then I don't know how, you know, how that works. But we would make it camping. I would have a cottage full of 15 kids at Brown City Camp, and I'd cook blueberry pancakes for the bunch of them. Casey knows. Always blueberry, because they're pretty amazing. We cooked it for the Genesians when we had them over overnight for my kids' friends, because we would always have kids sleeping over at our house. 30 years I cooked pancakes with this particular Betty Crocker recipe that Terry had in a Betty Crocker cookbook. And one day, I had this thought that I'm going to look to see another recipe. I know. And I found one that literally, it said, great pancakes. I'm like, okay. And I tried it. And I mean, pancakes, there's not a lot to them. But it had called for two eggs instead of one, called for more butter, more sugar, more salt, all those good for you things, right? And you mix the eggs separately, and you got to let it sit for 10 minutes. There was some more steps that I wasn't doing. I used to just throw it all together and whatever, you know. And you know what? They were so much better. I have a recipe for great pancakes. Okay. For 30 years, I used a recipe that was, it was good. It was okay. It was good. Then I found a recipe for great pancakes, and that's what I use now. So if you come up for blueberry pancakes, you will get the new recipe, Casey, for great blueberry pancakes. For some of us today, Jesus has a new recipe for you. Are you ready for a new recipe? Let's take a minute and read our verse today. And we'll see maybe what that new recipe is. Let's stand together. And let's read his word together today. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Lord, you have something here for us. If it's a new recipe for our lives, Lord, I pray that you would help us to receive it and find the blessing that there is in that. Lord, thank you. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, through your word. I ask it. I'm depending upon that. And I'm asking in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. So Martha had a recipe, and I'll bet she was using it for a long time. It says Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So Jesus was coming over, and everything, Martha was busy. Martha was busy. Martha was also annoyed. Martha was worried. God the Son was there in her home, teaching, speaking. The one whom they had seen perform miracles. The one who had taught with wisdom like they had never heard anybody teach before. And Martha was stressed about making sure the bread was going to rise. Martha was worried that the cheese was going to get cut right. Martha was worried that everything was going to be just so. And Martha got annoyed at Mary because Mary was just sitting around, not doing anything, right? You know who else Martha got annoyed at? Jesus. She got annoyed with God. Yes, she did. That was Martha's recipe for life. Mary had a different recipe. Mary's recipe was, Scripture says, Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Mary's recipe, front row. You people that sit in the front row at church, good for you. Sorry, Orville. Yeah, she was in the front row. She was listening. She was, this is the Son of God. No, wait, this is God the Son here in my house speaking and teaching. Mary was like, there's only one place where I'm going to be listening to every word he says. She was at peace. She was there. She was listening. She looked at Jesus, who didn't appear to be too concerned about the food. So she figured, well, if he's not worried about it, I'm not going to be worried about it, right? She sat being fed, being nurtured, learning, privileged to sit at the feet of the master and teacher. Was that something that women had the opportunity to do back then? No, they didn't go to school. They didn't have the opportunity to be one of a master or teacher's disciples. That was not an option. Your options as a woman back then? Get married, take care of the children, cook, clean. Those were your options. Going to sit under the teaching of one of the great teachers, that was not an option. Jesus did things a little differently, didn't he? Yeah, he did things differently. She sat growing closer to Jesus, being strengthened in her faith, learning more who he was, finding that joy that you find. Have you ever gone somewhere and you show up? We use this. What's the thing that happens when the guy walked into Cheers?
Norm!
Everybody in the place said, Norm! Why? Because everybody knew his name. I won't go through the whole thing. But yeah, he felt like he was welcomed. Have you ever walked into a place and people said, oh, I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so happy that you've come. How does that make us feel? That's joy. Joy is saying, this person loves it that I'm here. That's the foundation of joy. Jesus looked at Mary and said, I'm so glad you're sitting here. I'm so glad that you're just listening. That was a joy to him. And it turns out that Mary's recipe for her life, that was actually Jesus' recipe, wasn't it? Because Jesus said, you've chosen what is better, Mary. You've chosen what is better. What did Mary choose? What is it that brings joy? What is it that brings joy to having dinner? Who you're having dinner with? It's the relationships. Who is it? What is it that brings joy? I've said this to going on roller coasters at Cedar Point. Yeah, somebody to scream with and go, woo, yeah. Yeah, it's the relationships that bring us joy. Well, Mary, that was what Mary chose. Now, Martha's recipe was a task-filled life. That was Mary's recipe. And that type of an approach where it's got to focus on getting things done and getting them done right. Does that bring joy? It can in certain ways, but not in ways that last, and there's not a depth there. Martha was worried that dinner was going to be on time, that it was going to be awesome. She had this new tasty veggie dip that she really wanted to try out. And man, she wanted to make sure everything was just so. But she missed out on Jesus' recipe, right? She missed out on what Jesus wanted most for her. And that was to sit at his feet and be in his presence. Mary's recipe found as she sat at his feet, that look on Jesus' face, I'm so glad that you're here with me. Do you ever think about that being the face of Jesus? I think sometimes we don't really think about what kind of expression God has when we sit down to spend time with him or we pray. But you know what? Jesus was glad that Mary was there. His eyes looked at her, and there was a light in his eyes. And do you think he smiled? Yeah. She chose, what did he say? Mary chose what is better. It's not going to be taken from her. He found joy in Mary being there, sitting at his feet. And she looked and found pure truth and wisdom and hope. The relationship was where she gained all this, was sitting with him, finding hope, finding those answers to life. The task-filled life robs us of joy when all we're focused on is getting the things done. The relationship-filled life is what is going to be filled with joy. Now, Martha's recipe was also a self-led recipe. So Jesus is coming, right? Everything's got to be just so. The whole house probably got put on lockdown. Nobody's going anywhere until all this stuff is clean, and this is done, and that's done, and all, you know. How many people have experienced that? Careful. Yeah, be careful what if you raise your hand. Yeah, I mean, sometimes we get in this, we've got to get everything just right. And for Martha, even after the guest of honor arrives, to spend time with Martha, right? Where's she? She's busy. She's busy working on stuff, cooking, doing everything. Too busy preparing to for him to spend time with him. You know what they say the best way to be a host or a hostess is not to worry about everything being perfect. It's to make your guests feel like, I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so looking forward to spending time with you. That's how you be a good host. It's not that everything looks good. People are more interested in the person that they're coming to visit. And Martha was self-led. She wanted everything just right. And remember, who is she preparing everything perfectly for? It was the one who said, I have nowhere to lay my head. I don't even have a place to lay my head. Do you think he was worried about the napkins being creased just right? Or the hors d'oeuvres being just so beautifully? It's like, I don't even have, I'm a traveling, wandering preacher and teacher, and I never know where I'm going to sleep. Do you think he really was all worried about that? No, he was worried about spending time with Mary and Martha. Mary's recipe was God-led. When Jesus came and sat down and just began to talk to people, she's like, he's talking. I'm listening. I'm not missing this. You know, he's in my house. His words invited her to stay, spend time with me. She heard joy in his words. She heard wisdom in his words. She heard practical, how do I make this work in my everyday life words. This is how Jesus taught. It was very practical. I'm sure that Jesus was an interactive, he didn't just sit there and wax on. He was about relationships. He was about the people. And I'm sure he asked them questions. So what do you think about this? Because that's the way he taught. You see that often in his teaching. Mary's recipe was God-led. Jesus' face was turned to her. His eyes were alive. Smile inviting. This was why he came there, was to spend time with them. His hand said, come on, let's sit down. Let's sit down together. That's who he was. So Martha's recipe was, I know this is, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do that. Mary's was, Lord, what do you want? Oh, you want to talk? You're going to teach us? I'm going to sit right down here. It was God-led rather than Martha-led. Another part of Martha's recipe was, what was the first thing that she said to Jesus? Don't you care? What a statement to say about Jesus. Don't you care that my sister isn't helping me? It's like, Jesus, how come you're not paying attention to me? Look at all the stuff look at what I am doing for you. Do you know how long it took me to make that Bumandi dip? I mean, seriously. Why aren't you looking at me? What? Really, what she was saying is, Jesus, you're getting it wrong. you're teaching them, but you're not paying attention enough here, because if you were, you'd notice that Mary was slacking off and she should be helping me in the kitchen, right? Yeah. That's quite a, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you see me? Is what she was saying. All that I'm doing to bless you. Was she doing this to bless Jesus? Oh, sure. Of course she loved Jesus. She loved Jesus. She's like, why aren't you paying attention to me? I'm doing the right things, aren't I? Can I kind of picture that going on in her mind? I don't understand, Jesus. Why are you not fixing this? Her heart was in the right place, but you know what she was using? The wrong recipe. Mary's recipe, well, and we often find ourselves trying to live life with the wrong recipe, saying, God, I'm doing all the right things. Why are you not paying attention to me? We can say, I'm trying to be a good parent. I'm doing my best to do everything just as it's supposed to. We're trying to get a nice house, a big house. We're needing nice cars, and you know, my kids have got to be involved. We've got them in 8 different activities. We're trying to be good parents. But then we find that what we're using as a recipe is missing some ingredients. Sometimes we can be so busy parenting in the American way that we've kind of become accustomed to, that we parent without God in our parenting. We have a home that's devoid of spiritual activity. God's just not really there in the day-to-day stuff of life, of our lives. We're parenting our kids in a way that makes them too busy for church, too busy for to be involved in the things of their faith community. Too busy to be involved in serving others. And we think, but I'm trying to be a good parent, and we're busy with the wrong recipe. Our lives can be so busy and full of career and yet be empty of kingdom work. We're trying to be a good employee and doing everything that we need to do, but God's not there through us or in us in our workplace. We make the time for fun and entertainment because I've got to have some time to chill out, right? I've got to have some time to rest. But we leave little time to share with others about his love for them and the cross of Christ. We're saving up our savings and building up our 401k. But our giving to God is without sacrifice and without joy. Always chasing, but never having peace because we're using the wrong recipe. And we say, God, don't you care that I'm doing all these things? I'm trying to do the right things. And God is saying, Martha, Martha. Not a great way. Jesus, you can just see him when Martha said, Jesus, come on, what's your problem? And Jesus just looks at her with those eyes and says, Martha, Martha, oh, Martha. You're so worried and concerned about so many things. Mary has chosen what's best. I'm not taking it from her. And I'm not sure, Scripture doesn't tell us what happened next. Did Martha then say, oh, okay, I got it, and sit down next to Mary and begin to listen and change her recipe that she had for 30 years? Or did she say, well, it's still not right. She should be helping. I'm doing all the work. Go back to doing all of her stuff. I don't know. But we do have those choices, don't we? We do have those choices. Martha's recipe was, Jesus, look at her. Look at what she's not doing. A little bit of self-righteousness, right? Huh? A little bit of comparison. A little bit of blame game going on. Well, things would be fine if it wasn't for her, you know. Maybe a little bit of jealousy. How come I can't sit around and listen to you? Martha's recipe, look at her. Mary's recipe, he's looking at me. He's looking right at me. I'm sitting here and he is paying attention to me. He cares about me. I mean, think of the difference. He's looking at me. God is looking at you. He cares about where you are right now. To know that he sees you, think about this. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever heartache or hardship or challenge or worry that you have on your mind, he sees you. And he knows. And he cares. Not only that, to know that he is for you and not against you. Some people think that God just makes it, he's there to make it hard on me. No, God is for you and not against you. Mary kept her eyes on the one who had his eyes on her. And that's a powerful thing. So, let me ask you, is it time to try a new recipe? Is the recipe that you've been using for 30 years, that's been was okay, but maybe you're realizing wasn't really gonna make you great pancakes? It really isn't providing you a life that is filled with joy and peace and the presence of God and this deepening, growing relationship. If it's time for a better recipe, Jesus' recipe, it's not my recipe, it's Jesus' recipe. Let me, you know what, I'm a person that likes tradition. I've been using that recipe for 30 years. That's why I used it for 30 years, because it's the recipe I always use, right? That I had to say, you know what? This one's better. I'm going to put the old recipe away because this one's better. Is it time for you to say, you know what? This one's better. Taking the time to stop being the Martha that is busy, 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 trying to do all that you think God wants you to do. And it's not to say that God doesn't call us to do things, because God does call us to do things, doesn't he? He calls us to do lots of things. But, and it's not an either or, right? It's not either sit at Jesus' feet or work. It's both and. But the important thing about the both and is there is a particular order in which we should be doing it. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Then go and serve and work and do the things that he calls you to do. But start at the feet of Jesus so you know what his will is. And you're filled up with his power and presence. And then when you get out and you're trying to do the work of God and you're trying to raise your family and you're trying to do all the things that we're called to do and things get hard and somebody hurts you and somebody doesn't do what they're supposed to do, in the midst of the trouble, I can stop and remember, oh yeah, that's okay, because Jesus said he'd be with me. He told me that when I was with him, and he promised to remind me of that when I was in the storm, and he just reminded me of that. So thank you, Jesus. I return to that joy, and then I can continue in the fight. Start with Jesus' recipe, and then go into the works. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And as we close in prayer, so everybody bow their heads for a moment. I just want to leave you a moment to be quiet and just to listen and ask Jesus, do I need to change my recipe? Ask him. Ask him. Quiet your heart and ask him, and you will begin to hear the nudge of the Spirit of God. I'm just going to leave you some time to interact with him on that question. Thank you, Jesus, for having those eyes that see us and love us and hear us. Thank you for being willing to walk with us, Lord, right in the midst of a time of change and growth for us, Lord. Teach us to do things your way, Lord. If there's any here with the heads bowed that you have just recognized, I need Jesus to take this step that your recipe of spending time with you. I'm not. My quiet time is almost non-existent. I run past my Bible because I've got to get out the door. We don't pray together as a family because we're too busy. I've got myself and my kids involved in too many things, and we just can't get plugged in with our faith. If this is something God has put his finger on, and you're ready to say, Lord, I'm gonna try a new recipe, just raise your hand to him and say, yes, Lord, it's time for a new recipe. Yes, thank you. Yes. It's time for me to start using a recipe of relationship rather than running from one thing to another. If that's you, just raise your hand to him and just say, you know what, that's me. That's me. I want to do the new recipe. Yes, thank you. Thank you. As we close in prayer and in worship, the song, just a heartfelt cry that says, God, I want more of you. And our altar is open. If you just want to take a moment as we worship to say, I just want to come closer to you. I want to take this step and tell you I love you and I want to walk closer with you. Our altar is open. You can just take some time to worship and pray, and I'll be praying for you as we take time to worship.